Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 8th of December 2014, the podcast that the Fox says. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again this week is Dave Turcotte. Dave, welcome back to the show.
It's good to be back. I know it's been a while, but you'll have to put up with me.
First, a quick announcement. I was on Side Project Live last week on FRN and Radio FUBAR. The link to that is in the show notes, so please check that out. Okay, let's dismember the news of the bogus. So, you remember Stuxnet? That was the piece of malware that the US and UK wrote to take down Iranian enrichment centers?
Yeah, I do know about that one.
Yeah, they wrote malware that took over their computers and set them to spin the rotors up too fast so they would fail. And then it ended up getting in the wild and causing a lot of problems. Well, now there's another cyber attack linked to U.S. and British intelligence forces called Regin. And once again, The Intercept keeps us up to date on all of that. And according to this article, it was found on internal computer systems and email servers at Belgicom, which is a Belgian phone and internet provider that's partly owned by the state. And apparently there were reports that the company was involved in this top-secret surveillance operation carried out by a British spy agency. And I don't know if this malware was a part of that or something else, but apparently this goes on to infected systems and disguises itself as legitimate Microsoft software. And they found this on all sorts of computer systems at the European Union and the same systems that were targeted by the NSA.
Damn. Sounds like a nasty little thing.
Yep. And Symantec actually reported it to the public, and they say it's one of the most sophisticated pieces of spyware they've ever discovered.
Yeesh.
And, I mean, this thing, they really wrote it well. I mean, it's got layers of encryption. It's in different modules, and the modules are all differently encrypted, and it only decrypts what it needs to do. I mean, it's just, it's nasty.
Yeah, but what else can you expect from a government-made piece of crap?
Oh, no, this isn't a piece of crap. This is beautiful.
No, I mean piece of crap as in moral ill.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, evil.
Yeah, so both Belgicom and the European Union have confirmed that they found this malware all over the place. I don't know if it's been definitively linked to GCHQ and NSA, but that's where all the arrows are pointing. This mission was actually codenamed, get this, Operation Socialist. And they target engineers at Belgicom and install the malware implants through a fake LinkedIn page. And that launched the malware attack and infected their computers and basically gave the spies complete control of their system, letting them to see everything. They could go exploring and figure out whatever they want. And The Intercept has actually figured out that traces of this components go back as far as 2003.
Ye gods. This sounds like something out of a, like, hacker movie.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty amazing.
It's the stuff of computer nightmares.
I'm also linking to a paper from Kaspersky Labs. And this just tells you everything you never wanted to know about this, but the bottom line, they've been doing this for something like a decade. Everyone who's analyzed this has said it's by far the most sophisticated attack platform they've ever seen. And, of course, the big fear is that this might end up in the wild, like what happened with Stuxnet, and also other malware writers like taking what's out there and modifying it. So there's a real possibility we might see imitators. So isn't it wonderful we have government to keep us safe?
Of course. What would we do without them, other than have computers that were in danger of god-awful, evil spyware that's going to destroy everything.
And actually be able to secure it. They're actually talking about making cryptography illegal now.
Of course they are.
So we've talked about Uber, Lyft, and other ride-sharing platforms and how they're competing with taxi services that have to purchase a medallion for permission to create their business. Well, guess what? Competition works. The price of taxi medallions is going way down.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tale as old as trade itself. I mean, it's pretty obvious to anybody who's studied economics in any capacity that competition does lower prices, and it's overall better for the consumer. And quite frankly, when you don't have the government getting involved and essentially manhandling competition out of business, this is what you get.
Yeah, and this is a report in the New York Times, and the New York City taxi medallion prices went to a peak in the spring of 2013. I think it was somewhere around $1 million. And then in October, they had fallen to $872,000. Still ridiculously large, but at least they're going down. In Chicago, they dropped 17%. In Boston, 20%. In Philadelphia, the taxi authority tried selling their medallions for $475,000. They weren't able to sell any, so they'll try again at $350,000.
I mean, it's good for us, but man, they're probably getting pissed. Well, they're like the mafia, so I'm sure they're going to try and break a few kneecaps. And
oh, sure.
Gotta get the business done right.
So, this spring, it was typical in Chicago for medallion prices to go for $357,000. Now they're at $298,000, which is still way up from the $50,000 they were a decade ago, but hey, at least they're starting to go back down now.
Again, I mean, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but it has to be constantly said that competition is good. It brings prices down for everybody. And yeah, it's about time that these, you know, big taxi, you know, companies and unions got a piece of that.
Yeah, like in Chicago, a 7-mile ride from the Loop to the university and a taxi, it costs about $26. The same trip with UberX was $12.29.
Well, not only that, but it was even as bad as to, like, in some parts where that guy was driving his wife home and they took his car away because...
Yeah, we talked about that because they thought he was an Uber driver.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And hopefully Uber just does better.
And they're going to have to keep going down because since the start of July in Chicago, there have only been 11 medallions sold. Over the same period last year in 2013, that was 147.
Damn.
So fewer people are buying medallions, so those prices have got to go down.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when owners lease out their taxis, they've been unable to get a lot of them leased out at the maximum rate, which is $780 a week for a late model Toyota Prius. And drivers have been bargaining that down to $700 or so. And others are just saying, screw you, we're going to Uber.
Well, that's good. That is honestly good. There's not really much more you could say than that's good.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's good not only for consumers, but taxi drivers as well. If you can get a medallion for cheaper, you can go into business or expand your business at a lower cost. So really, the only reason to be against this is if you want the competition artificially limited so that you can make more money you otherwise could if you had to charge people what your service was actually worth.
Yeah, and the sad part is, you know, everybody complains about all these monopolies, but they had a monopoly and competition came up and is finally starting to take the axe to it.
Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide a means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv.
So, unsurprisingly, the movement to legalize marijuana in many U.S. states doesn't sit well with those in power. And the UN is no exception. The UN narcotics chief has said that these new laws in the U.S. and various other countries legalizing small amounts of marijuana, he says they're, quote, not compatible with existing conventions. You know, I'm sure George III said the same thing when he saw the Declaration of Independence.
Pardon my French, but fuck the UN. I mean, you may as well be blunt about it. Oh, that's a pun.
Oh.
I can't help myself.
Anyway, so this was Yuri Fedotov, executive director of the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime. And he said that he was going to go talk with the U.S. State Department and other U.N. agencies and talk about what they can do about this.
Well, I know a couple things they can do.
What's that?
Nothing and like it.
There you go. And this also comes on the heels of what's going on in Uruguay. Late last year, they approved a bill to legalize and regulate production and sale of marijuana. They're the first to do so on a countrywide level. And the International Narcotics Control Board says that, oh, they contravened the 1961 Single Convention on Narcotic Drugs. They have to limit the use of cannabis to medical and scientific purposes because it's addictive and people might get dependent on it.
Yes, let's continue to throw out long debunked nonsense. You know what's funny about this? I remember when I was in high school, we had a mandatory health class for our sophomore year, and the teacher flat out said that marijuana was addictive, it caused cancer, it kills people, all this stuff that has been long refuted. Well, the next year I had to take an issues in government course, and we talked about marijuana legalization, and the teacher flat out said, no, that's bullshit.
She was saying what she had to say because that was the book in the curriculum, but...
Yep.
Same teacher, right?
No, different teacher.
Oh, different teacher.
Different teacher. But yeah, they said, yeah, what you were taught in health class, that was pure bullshit.
Well, and it's interesting, they have that DARE program. They go into all these cities and they lie to kids about drugs. And what do you think happens? Drug use goes up in those cities.
Oh, yeah.
Because it doesn't take a lot to figure out that you've been lied to and say, well, if they lied to me about marijuana, they probably lied about heroin and cocaine and all that. So we're just going to ignore everything.
Yeah, I had to go through the DARE program. Man, what a waste of time that was for everyone.
That was a bit after my time, but... So anyway, in Uruguay, last week there was a presidential runoff election. Voters by a very comfortable majority supported the pro-marijuana presidential candidate, Tabaré Vázquez. And Vázquez ran on continuing to implement more marijuana legalization.
Yeah, I don't blame them for supporting the guy.
And his opponent promised to repeal major parts of the law, including parts that allow sales to adults.
Of course.
And so the Uruguayan people just pretty much rejected that outright. And so since then, they've been rolling out the law. It allows for domestic cultivation of 6 plants per household. It also allows for cannabis social clubs and licensed sales to adult residents in pharmacies. So way to go, Uruguay.
Awesome. Thumbs up.
Yeah, this world is a-changing. The UN can either change with it or become a dinosaur.
Well, more so than it has already.
Yeah, true. And now let's take a broad brush and paint this week's biggest bogon emitter. And this week it goes to Democratic Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who in her own doublespeak way basically admitted that they all knew they were lying to us about Obamacare. Listen to her appearance on ABC News this week being interviewed by Martha Raddatz.
Did you feel misled by Obama?
He should have just been more specific, because the point is, if you're being offered a terrible health care plan that the minute you get sick, you're going to have to go into bankruptcy, those plans should never be offered.
So were you misled?
He should have just been specific. No, we all knew. The whole point of the plan is to cover things people need.
But that's after saying that if you like your plan, you can keep it. Repeatedly. But no, it's actually if we like your plan, you can keep it.
Oh yeah, this is... really an arrogant position that people are holding with this. If you say, if you like our plan, you can keep it, and then say, no, your plan is worth about as much as chicken soup, I'm changing it, regardless of what you think. Yeah, that is an arrogant position. You are basically saying, I know better than you do what you need.
Yeah, and it's also things like, what if car insurance covered oil changes and new tires? You know, that's the kind of thing of saying that's what you wanted insurance. But just think it through. Think it with any other kind of insurance. Or, you know, the episode of John Stossel when he was talking about grocery insurance. If you had grocery insurance, what are you going to do? You're never going to buy hamburger. You're going to buy steak and shrimp. You're not going to buy the ramen noodles. You're going to buy all the expensive stuff and just load up your cart with it.
Of course. And then what happens? Everything goes up.
Yep.
How many women paid more because of their gender?
So here we're in total feminazi SJW territory. They were not paying more because evil insurance companies hate women. Women paid more because they used more services. And even aside from pregnancy and OBGYN services, women just go to the doctor more than men do. I don't know if they're smarter than us or what, but they went to the doctor more. They used more services. That means they increase costs more. So they pay more. But what they were paying wasn't even proportional with how much they actually used, so they actually did get a pretty major break at that.
I mean, really, it's common sense that if you have more services, you have to pay more for them.
Right.
What is sexist about that? these people infuriate me.
Well, if you don't make people pay something in some measure commensurate with what they use, either with co-pays or higher premiums or whatever, you'll remove everything that causes you to economize. You go to the doctor every time you get the sniffles. Instead of asking, do I really need to go? Because he's just going to tell you to get rest and drink liquids because antibiotics don't work against viruses. And then you're just clogging up resources, using up all these resources and driving up the price. But more than that, it gives you an economic incentive to improve yourself, to stop smoking, lose weight, exercise more, eat better, whatever. Just like being a safer driver means you don't pay as much for car insurance. It's a good thing.
Yeah, and then don't even get me started on the whole preconditions nonsense, too.
The pre-existing conditions?
Yeah. That's like having homeowners insurance while your house is on fire.
Well, they weren't even doing that before government started meddling in the 60s, because healthcare was so cheap it just wasn't that big a deal.
Of course. People, for whatever reason, don't seem to realize that health insurance was not about going to the doctor for free for everything. It was entirely about when you needed the big stuff done, when you needed a major surgery. The insurance would cover that.
Or something unpredictable that just showed up on an emergency basis or something.
Exactly. But it wasn't meant to, I'm not feeling too good. I'm going to go to the doctor and let insurance pay for it.
But it's like when I got my insurance plan, the one that Obama said wasn't good enough and I lost, even though I liked my plan, I didn't get to keep it. When I first got it, I have all these injuries from the car accident in 2006 that I've talked about a few times. And what they said was that, anything from that is a pre-existing condition and isn't covered for the first year. After that, after I'm with them for a year and I've been paying into it, then they'll cover things that might be related to that accident without denying me. So, it wasn't anywhere near the big problem they were making it out to be. You could shop around and find insurance plans that did things differently.
Not only that, but they also slap things on there that you don't even need. I am a guy. Why do I need coverage for pregnancies?
Well, there you're just being sexist now.
I know. Me and my oppressive manliness.
Well, let's put it this way. If you're a woman and you've had your tubes tied, why do you need coverage for that?
Yeah.
Why do you need chiropractic and acupuncture like a lot of states require?
Why do we need half of the shit that they put on us? That we don't even use because biologically we don't need it.
Yeah.
Or it's complete bunk.
Those are the reforms that we had to fix.
We're talking about leadership here and trust. What does this all say about President Obama's leadership these past few weeks? He fell on his sword, but he's missed that sword a couple of times.
Well, no one is more disappointed in the implementation issues than President Obama, and he has taken full responsibility for the mistakes and the lack of getting this system up and running when it was supposed to be up and running.
When?
Bullshit.
He just blames everyone else for what's going on.
The Republicans are fighting against me.
Well, you've got people who are caught in this catch-22. We've talked before about how you go onto healthcare.gov and they say, you don't make enough to get a plan on the exchange. You need to go get Medicaid. And so you go and you get Medicaid, and so you have all these people on the Medicaid rolls who wouldn't have been on there before. But now it's turning out that there are people who don't qualify for Medicaid because they make too much, but they don't make enough to get the subsidies on the website. And in my case, just for me, a plan on healthcare.gov, the cheapest plan they have on there just for me, is over twice what I was paying for that plan I mentioned earlier that covered me and my kids.
Yeah, well, your plan wasn't good enough. It was clearly no better than chicken soup.
It was better than the one on the website! The one on the website had a higher deductible and didn't cover as much. Jeez.
Are you questioning your infallible leaders again?
Yes.
Do I need to have you pack up and go to your nearest FEMA camp?
But what this is about, Martha, are those mothers in the emergency room who don't have access to affordable health care.
Well, I had access to at least some of it before Obamacare came around. We know how to make health care more affordable, and it's by doing the exact opposite of what Obamacare did. Make the market freer, increase competition, stop artificially restricting licensing, Remove the roadblocks towards building more clinics and hospitals. Let doctors' offices and mutual aid societies innovate different ways of doing it and stop inhibiting it just because it competes with the insurance companies. Get rid of the restrictions on HSAs, decouple insurance from employment, remove all restrictions on insurance plans, and let insurance companies sell plans across state lines, remove the FDA amendments and allow any drug proven safe to be prescribed to patients. All of these things would result in a vast improvement in healthcare affordability and wouldn't cost the taxpayers a dime.
Yeah, but then they wouldn't be able to feed their cronies.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That's what it's all about. You know, why else would they have a special tax to put on people who didn't want to buy health coverage from the insurance companies?
That's what it's always been about. It's always been about helping their cronies. And that's what it's always going to be about. And you could tell me all you want that they care about the poor. No, they don't. They do not. They never cared about the poor, because if they did, they would have left it alone. Because the poor were better off with how healthcare was before 1960.
Oh, yeah, much better.
Much better off. And people want to make up all these excuses. They were saying that health insurance was too cheap. In what logical universe does that make sense? None that I'm aware of. But then again, some argue we don't live in a logical universe, so...
Definitely not where our government's concerned.
Of course not.
Because of these implementation issues, there's a number of Americans who got a notice from their insurers saying, we're not covering you anymore.
It's not implementation issues. Like I said, before Obamacare, I had insurance for me and my family. We paid about $200 a month. It covered major medical, annual checkups, vaccines, and I think three doctor visits a year for each of us. According to Obama, that wasn't good enough and I lost it, and now the cheapest plan I can get on the exchange is $450 a month, over twice as much, just for myself, with a higher deductible, and the plan doesn't even cover as much as mine did before. Oh, but that's just an implementation issue. Sorry, no. These are lies, and she knows it.
Of course she does. Of course she does. They all do. But then again, how dare you question dear leader?
Yeah.
Don't you understand that he cares about you? Did you know, Shane, that Barack Obama sits in his library every night, looks at the list of the entire U.S. population, and goes, I care about him, with a single tear coming down his eye?
He's like Santa, except he puts everyone on the nice list.
Or the drone list.
Well, that too.
Do you know what that creates in a family? Enormous amounts of stress.
Yes, when Obamacare takes your insurance away, it causes enormous amounts of stress. Glad we can agree on that.
It's about the only right thing this person has said other than, hi, my name is.
But our job is to fix these problems.
You created these problems. I mean, when are they going to accept any responsibility for the complete and total failure of Obamacare?
They're never going to. Ever.
So all of that makes Senator Kirsten Gillibrand this week's biggest bogon emitter. History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's LibertyClassroom.com. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, LibertyClassroom.com teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com. So the last time we gave out the Silver Kluon was in October. And I said there was enough time for someone to come in with a record-breaking fifth Silver Kluon for 2014, and guess what? Someone has. And I do want to alert people about one thing. There's going to be more cursing than usual in this segment. Well, not cursing. Curses aren't real. There's going to be more swearing. Well, no, not swearing, because there are no sacred and forbidden names being invoked. But there's profanity. Well, no, it's not profanity because it doesn't desecrate a sacred idol. Okay, we're going to use words that unthinking morons get bent out of shape about, even though there's absolutely nothing wrong with them at all.
Fuck yeah! There's going to be some bad, ouchy words that may offend your little precious sensitivities.
And actually, one in particular, because it's repeated throughout. So what happened was, way back in 2005, our recipients, computer scientists David Mazieris and Adi Kohler, got tired of being spammed with conference invites, and they created this paper to send back to them, hoping they'll get the message. The paper is titled, Get Me Off Your Fucking Mailing List. And they also included a URL to Mail Avenger, which is a spam-filtering email server. So the abstract of this paper reads, Get me off your fucking mailing list. 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 You get the idea.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
And then section one, the introduction says, Get me off your fucking mailing list. Get me off your fucking mailing list. It's just that repeated over and over again.
So eloquently stated, and you will never find a better written scientific paper anywhere. It's straight to the point.
And they even include figures. Figure one is a flowchart, and the caption says, Get me off your fucking mailing list. And it starts with get, with an arrow towards me, then another arrow to off, another arrow down to your, then an arrow to fucking, then another to mail, an arrow to ing, and finally an arrow to list.
Beautiful.
And on the last page, they even have an XY scatter plot. Figure 2, get me off your fucking mailing list. The Y-axis is get me off, and the X-axis is your fucking mailing list. And the points on the graph actually spell out get me off your fucking mailing list. And then they end off, of course, with the summary, which is, get me off your fucking mailing list, get me off your fucking mailing list, get me off your fucking, etc. And there are two references that don't have anything to do with anything. Okay, so why are we giving this to a couple of guys who made this as a joke? Because this year, it was accepted for publication by the International Journal of Advanced Computer Technology. What happened was, an Australian computer scientist, Peter Vamplew, sent it to the journal in response to getting spam from them, and they automatically accepted the paper. An anonymous reviewer said it was excellent, and they said they'd publish it for a fee of $150.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, this is a totally fraudulent journal where you can just pay and have anything printed that you want to, you know, if you're Bigfoot DNA or whatever.
I can't get over how amazing this is. Just, it's the stuff dreams are made of.
Well, I mean, we've talked about open access journals before, and we've been generally positive about them. PLOS One from the Public Library of Science is a good one, and a lot of them are really good. They have good peer reviews, and they even tend to publish the results of the peer review, which I find very useful. But, of course, anytime you have anything open, there's going to be the good ones, and there's going to be the scam artists and the ones that aren't reputable at all. So it's just beautiful.
Get them off your fucking mailing list.
So it's just beautiful that they were able to use this paper to expose this. And this journal claims to be peer-reviewed, but I think it's obvious that no human eyeballs from anyone in that journal ever looked at that paper. It was just, like, automatically accepted and sent out.
To quote the Nature Boy Ric Flair, with a tear in my eye, this is the greatest moment of my life.
Maybe not that far, but it's still good. So nice going, David Mazieris and Adi Kohler, along with Peter Vamplew for submitting it and exposing the journal. Guys, enjoy your shiny new silver Kluon, and don't worry, we're not charging you anything for it.
You say you don't like Bitcoin? Why not? Oh, because it's not gold. No problem. Just go to coins.bogosity.tv and you'll be taken to Coinable, where you can buy gold or silver coins or bars with your bitcoins, with literally up-to-the-minute spot pricing. Now there's no reason not to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Whether you're a Bitcoin miner, service operator, Bitcoin business owner, or market speculator, you can get gold and silver from reputable dealers. And Coinable has Bitcoin liquidity for fast processing of your order. Coinable even utilizes a special shipping infrastructure to ensure that your investment arrives safely at your door. And you know what? By going to coins.bogosity.tv, you won't pay a penny more, excuse me, a Satoshi more for your purchase. But you'll help this podcast. You can even sell your gold and silver for Bitcoin as well. Coinable is your Bitcoin to gold marketplace. So go to coins.bogosity.tv and start turning your Bitcoins into gold now. Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy. I've been very satisfied with GoDaddy's services and their wonderful 24/7 customer support for over 10 years now. So I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or other service and get 35% off with the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet hosting. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. And now let's gawk in amazement at this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And this week it's Matt Bruning. And I guess this was inevitable. Someone was going to say this sooner or later. He's saying that the riots in Ferguson are good for the economy.
Anybody got any windows around? I have a rock. Seriously. Really? That sentence alone, you don't even need to read the rest of the article. That sentence alone, it's like, and yet this is becoming more common with each disaster or each, whenever something comes and just completely wrecks everything, some jackass is sitting in his comfy little home, probably making a lot of money.
And probably not anywhere near the disaster itself.
Exactly. Saying, you know, this is good. This is good. I'm happy with this. And I know we just got over the last story, but fuck you! How stupid can you be where you look at people's suffering? And yes, this is people suffering. Rioting is not a happy thing, generally. People are pissed off, and then you have the people who are suffering because their businesses are being burned to the ground. And then you got, like I said, some jackass sitting in his comfy home. It makes me sick. You have to have a complete lack of empathy.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would even go as far as to say a complete lack of humanity to say this is a good thing. It boggles the mind. And like I said, the sad part about this is we are seeing more of this nonsense. People like Paul Krugman, who is constantly getting featured on ABC for his enlightening dialogue when it comes to these kind of issues. Ugh, don't even get me started on that. Just, God. And what is their reasoning behind this? Pray tell, what is their reasoning?
Well, the first thing he does is cite a couple of articles that compare the riots to everything from the Boston Tea Party to slave uprisings. But I guess they don't get the difference between the Boston Tea Party, which was targeted at a certain thing, the tea that was being imported and taxed, or slave uprisings, which are people who are being oppressed, rising up against the people who oppress them, than a riot where people are, you know, looting and burning down businesses that didn't have anything to do with the reason why they're so upset in the first place.
No, you know what? I think that was a deliberate race bait. I honestly think, because knowing Gawker, which hosted this pile of crap, that's something that they would do. I think it was a subtle race bait to specifically talk about slave uprisings. But, God, this guy is a complete moron.
And he says, there's also, I'd submit, an even more straightforward case for rioting. At the right levels, rioting is economically efficient. Rioting that occurs in response to gross police misconduct and criminal system abuses imposes costs on doing those things. It signals to police authorities that they risk this sort of destructive mayhem if they continue on like this. All else equal,
This should reduce the amount of police misconduct as criminal justice authorities take precautions to prevent the next Ferguson. No, it won't. It just means they'll be screaming for, oh, we need more money, more power, more military equipment, that sort of thing. That's all it's going to do.
That's exactly what it's going to do. I was just talking to Travis about this earlier, and I basically said all it will do is get them to say, see, this is why we need tanks.
Yeah. I just keep thinking about the Dragnet movie they made with Dan Aykroyd and Tom Hanks, and they were going to do a narcotics raid against this one milk factory, and they had this big tank they were going with, and it said, have a nice day on the front of it.
But this is the kind of thing which is why they have a Bearcat vehicle in Keene. Come on. Have a little bit of critical thinking. I know that's difficult. I know it's difficult, but at least try.
Oh, check this out. Quote, it would be, as some interviewed Ferguson residents noted, far more effective to target police equipment, not to mention moral, not just effective, but to target police equipment or other property nearer to criminal justice authorities. But these targets are often difficult and easy to reach.
Laziness?
Well, so you can't go through a little extra effort to actually go and hit your target.
You lazy sons of bitches. That is the height of laziness. So let me get this straight. You can go through with rioting. You can go through with rioting, but you can't take the extra effort to concentrate onto something that actually wronged you.
Yeah.
God,
ready, aim, fire. Again, they keep skipping step two.
I don't want to give these people fuel, but Jesus Christ, this is the exact reason why people are making fun of the rioters in Ferguson.
Well, I do want to say it's not all of the protesters. It's not even most of them, and a lot of the rioters have actually been protecting businesses by, you know, showing up in front of the doors and stopping the rioters from going in. So kudos to them.
There is a distinct difference between a protester and a rioter.
Yeah.
I think that needs to be firmly addressed because a lot of people
Let's use protester to talk about the people who are peacefully protesting the injustice and rioters to deal with people who are doing the violence and vandalism and mayhem.
And because the problem is too many people are linking them together and these rioting assholes, and they are assholes. I don't think anybody will really disagree with that except for jerk-off McGee here. But the fact is, they are not the same thing as protesters. There are people out there who are peacefully gathering, peacefully defending their property from these assholes. They are not the problem. But when you hear that these rioters are causing this destruction, and they're causing destruction on innocent people because they're too lazy to take their frustration out with the police.
Well, and I think it's also a case of, I lost the quarter over there, but I'm looking over here for it because the light's better.
But this is the kind of thing that gives fuel to... I don't want to make this a race bait thing, but let's be honest. Ferguson really brought out some of the more racist people on both sides.
Yeah.
But it's giving these people fuel to try and make it seem like, oh, they're just a bunch of mindless animals is what they're making it seem like. And when you hear about something like this, that only gives those people fuel.
Yeah.
Knock it off.
And he closes off saying, quote, from an economic perspective, surely the question is whether the level of rioting is optimal. Do the potential benefits of Ferguson rioting as a police sanctioning tool outweigh its immediate wealth destruction? I suspect it does. And in fact, that the current rioting level is likely economically suboptimal. In other words, he thinks that they're going to get more benefits out of it than the destruction of property.
God, you are stupid. You know what, rioters, if this guy lives nearby, which, no, it seems like he doesn't. He's in Texas, of course. You know what, rioters, migrate to Texas and find this guy's home and riot in his home. And I want to see if he has the same opinion.
So after all that, who else but Matt Brunig could be this week's
Idiot Exterminator?
Well, that wraps up this number one, the Larch edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums at Bogosity.tv where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the Bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Dave Turcotte for joining me.
It was great to be back. I hope people didn't hate me too much.
Next week will be our last regular podcast until our 2014 wrap-up, so until then, here's a quote from Christopher Westley. The people on the ground today, protesting in Ferguson, have legitimate grievances that long predated Michael Brown's death. But threatening lives and property of innocent third parties creates enemies out of would-be friends and supporters, while plays into the hands of those who value the protesters as political tools, dependable votes, and nothing more. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Imported License.
Bogosity.
Christmas time is coming, and the most classic of Christmas stories is A Christmas Carol. But how much do you know about the original Charles Dickens novella? Have you dismissed it as a children's book with one-dimensional characters amounting to nothing but platitudes and cliches? Maybe your appreciation of the book was even muted by those dry, boring, annotated books they made you read in school. My book, the sarcastically annotated A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, uses both facts and humor to present the book in a way you probably haven't seen it before. Giving praise when deserved and beratement when warranted, this book is put in the perspective of its time and shows a dimensional, multi-layered Ebenezer Scrooge from start to finish. Skepticism, history, and even economics are employed to show the book in relation to today in an easily accessible format. Appreciate the Christmas of your youth all over again. Get The Sarcastically Annotated A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, available at Amazon and on PDF as well.
I'm just amazed that you can say that fast every time.
I don't think you've been on any time where I've had to say it like 3 or 4 times to get it out.
No, I imagine in the beginning that's what it had to be, but...
I'm getting better over time, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, but at the same time, geez, they might have to hire you to become the next Micro Machines guy.
Oh, boy.